chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 8 says, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. We here desiring to get close to Thee, to know Thy will, to do that which is acceptable and pleasing in Thy sight. Lord, we are looking forward to a week of meetings, the expectation of revival, stirring in our heart, stirring in our midst. And I pray that You might begin tonight, prepare us, make our hearts tender, give us sincere desire to hear Thy Word and to perform that which we hear. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be active in our midst to do His work. Help us to be what we ought to be for Thee. We'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to have all of you here tonight. And I was hoping some of those folks that came this morning might come back. Pray that they'll be here this week. Nobody's life ever gets changed for God if they don't make themselves available to the preaching of the Word of God. And it takes sometimes three times as long for some people to get things straight as it does for others, because they only come one-third of the time. Amen. But we're glad you're here, and I pray you came looking for something from the Lord. Now, our text tonight, of course, there is in 2 Peter 3:9. And I want to preach on this thought, not willing. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on that thought. Most of us are not willing. We're not willing to do a lot of things. We're not willing to give. We're not willing to go. We're not willing to come. We're not willing to change. We're not willing to pray. We're not willing to witness. That's like a nasty message, isn't it? But I'm not going to preach on that. I want to preach to you on some things God's not willing. You may wish that I preached the other. But the verse said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. God's not willing. There are a lot of things God's not willing to do. We think we have a monopoly on it. We got a corner on the market on not willing. But there's some things God's not willing. Of course, thank goodness there's some things God's not willing. Of course, in that verse, He's not willing that any should perish. Sometimes His not willing is not like our not willing. Amen. I only have five little things about that on that one verse. And if you'll listen intently and pray as I preach, we'll trust that the Lord will do a work in our midst, and we'll go home and spend some time in prayer tonight for the meeting tomorrow night for Brother Coley, that God will just use him in an incredible way in our midst. Let me give you five observations about this verse, and we'll go home. Number one, the first thing to notice from verse 9 is God has a will. Amen. Now, we spend a lot of time on our will and what we will do and what we won't do, and we sometimes forget or neglect that God has a will. God's will is this, as stated in that verse. Now, of course, there are a lot of other things we could have added to it, but I just want to stay in that verse tonight. And in that verse, God is not willing that any should perish. What a great thought that is. The God of glory, the great God of heaven, the Savior of the world, our Father and our God, is not willing that any should perish. That is, it is the desire of the heart of the Creator of the universe, the Creator of mankind, the sustainer of all that is. It is His expressed desire, it is His will that nobody perish. The Bible said another place that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There is not a man, woman, boy or girl alive on this planet now or in the past or in the future that God wants to see go to hell. And since God's not willing, God has done all that God can do to keep them from going there. When God's decides to do a thing, God puts some effort into it. And He's not willing that any should perish. It's His will that all should repent. Come to Christ. He loved the whole world. Everybody in it. He loved all the races and both the sexes and everything in between. He loves the ones that don't know what they are. Amen. We have hims and shims and its, you know. God loves them all. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. That's the reason He sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world. Now, you hear crazy things these days about God and His will. You hear people say, you know, and you can tell how stupid some people are by how they talk. It's one thing to be thought a fool. It's quite another to open your mouth and prove it. And a lot of people are so intent on hearing their teeth click together, and they're so impressed with what that comes out of their own mouth, that they say all kind of stupid and ridiculous things. Like, well, if God wants you to do something, if it's God's will for your life, you're going to do it. I wish that were true. I wish if God had it planned for you, and if it was God's will for your life, somehow it would happen. But the truth is, God has a will for all of us, and we thwart His will all the time. Amen. It's God's will for us all to live holy lives. Yet a lot of Christians don't live holy lives. It is God's will for us to be separated under the gospel of Christ. But a lot of us aren't. Amen. God is not willing that we should live in sin, but we do anyway. God calls people to preach or to be missionaries. And you know what they do? They go become used car salesmen. Just because God wants you to do something doesn't mean you're going to do it. Now, I do believe if God has a job to be done, God will find somebody to do it. It just don't have to be you. Amen. God lays His hand on you, calls you, reveals what His will for your life is, and you won't do it. Then God will put you back down, put you on a shelf someplace, and go on to somebody that's willing. I think He'll get the job done. But I don't think there's any guarantee that He's got to use you to do it. Amen. People say dumb stuff about the will of God. But you need to understand God has a will. Most of it, by the way, is revealed. People always run around, well, I'm praying about the will of God for my life. I wonder what the will of God for my life is. Why don't you just get busy right where you're at and do all you can where you're at and see where God leads you. Hard to lead somebody that ain't walking. You ever try to lead somebody that's sitting down? Amen. Get busy where you're at. Say, well, when I find the will of God in my life, boy, I'm going to get into battle and I'm going to work for God. No, you won't. You don't work where you're at. You're not faithful where you're at. You won't be any more faithful and you won't work any harder no matter where you're at. Amen. If you're zealous for the Lord, you're zealous for the Lord where you're at. If God moves you someplace else, you'll be zealous there. You're a sluggard here, you'll be a sluggard there. Your personality doesn't change because your geography does. Amen. Well, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, God wants you to get off your butt and get busy. That's what God wants you to do. There's a world out there dying and going to hell. God wants you to be a witness. Amen. God has a will. Number two. I really like this part. God's will includes any and all. Look down at the verse. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love that any and all. I'm an any and all. Are you an any and all? God not willing that you should perish. If you're anybody at all, God don't want you to perish. I just love that, any and all. Now, if God's not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance, it means God will save anybody that wants to get saved.
Amen.
What does that mean to us? Well, if God's willing to do that and we're the method with which God does that, then we need to preach the gospel to every creature, to all men. Amen? So why? Because God's invited all that labor to come unto Him. And He promised, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. See how He's got that all worked in that thing? It's all. All. God's plan of salvation is all encompassing. It's not limited to the elect or anybody else. It's open and available to everybody. All that will come are accepted.
Amen.
He offers it to all. He offers it to any that are willing. Well, let me show you. Remember the story about Cornelius? Now, Cornelius was a righteous man. He feared God, tried to live right. He prayed, did alms, and gave his money. He was a better Christian lost than most Christians are saved.
Amen.
Amen. He was so, and the man was lost, and he was so righteous that his works came up before God as a memorial. And he told him, he said, I'm going to send you a man that'll show you what you got to do to be saved. Cornelius was lost. He was righteous, he was godly, he believed in God, he paid his tithes, he did good works, he treated his fellow man right, and he was lost. He's a better man lost than a lot of us are saved. I said, preacher, you just said that. I know, I repeated myself. I wanted you to understand it. We got the idea that because some people are pretty good folks, they must be saved. Nonsense. You can be real good and be lost. You can be real religious and be lost. You can have a heart as big as Texas and be lost. You can be as generous as anybody can be and be lost. Cornelius was all those things. And God said, I'm going to send you somebody to show you how to be saved. Buddy, when it says any, that any should perish, God didn't want the rich man, Cornelius, to perish without Christ. So God sent somebody by to talk to him. What if Cornelius had done what a lot of other folks do? When he got that knock on the door and said, oh, listen, we're from King James Baptist Church. No, we're not interested. We're eating lunch. Why don't you come on back some other time? You never would have read that story about Cornelius. Well, Cornelius was interested, buddy. And God got him in. He's one of them anybodies that God didn't want to perish. God saved Cornelius. What about Judas? Judas could have been saved. Could have been. Now, he died and he went to hell. But it wasn't because he didn't hear the gospel, and it's not because he didn't have opportunity. It's because he wouldn't repent. And that is what that verse is all about. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even after Judas found out who it was he betrayed, he never repented. He committed suicide, but he never repented. Never came to Christ and said, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Just went out and killed himself, died and went to hell. There's a story in the New Testament about an impure woman taken in the very act of adultery. Now, that's a very unseemly thing to talk about, and I'm sure it must have been humiliating and embarrassing to be caught in that particular way. And they brought her to Jesus Christ, and He didn't spend 5 minutes railing on it. Listen, Christ didn't have to convince that woman she was guilty. He did not have to overcome her pride. All that's done already. She's caught. She knows she's caught. She knows she was wrong. And she is humiliated beyond words. So Christ just deals with her about her condition. Amen. Well, it's a good thing when God works in our heart and we know what we are. I think sometimes we see such shallow Christian lives because we pick green fruit. I heard a man say one time, "It's the test of an evangelist is not how much fruit he can pick, but the condition he leaves the vine in when he leaves." We're in such a rush sometimes to get professions of faith that we don't give the Holy Spirit time to do a real work. All you got to have an invitation at every service. A couple months ago, I was preaching out to prison, and the chaplain was there that night. Now, he's not the chaplain there anymore, but he was the chaplain at that time. And I preached, and we had about 30 people in there. The room was packed and had a good service and had a good time, boy. And I preached as hard as I know how to preach, and we got through. I prayed and dismissed. And this pompous ass came to me after the service, and he said, "Brother Hensley," he said, "I'd never attempt to tell you how to conduct your service," he said, "but we like to give men an opportunity to get saved." He said, you didn't have an invitation. Now, just between me and you, he really made me mad. And though he would never do that, that's exactly what he's doing. I said, "Buddy, I didn't see anything on anybody's face, and I didn't have any leading from the Holy Spirit, and I didn't give an invitation." "Well, I didn't mean anything." I said, "Good. I don't mean anything either. Stupid." You don't push people into getting saved. That's God the Holy Spirit's job. My job, your job, is to preach and present the truth. To pray and get the power of God and let the Holy Spirit work. Man, if I could do it, I'd bang heads together. You think they're not folks in King James Baptist Church I'd fix if I could? I don't mean get even either. I don't mean that. I mean fix them where they'd be right. But I can't do that. All I can do is get up here 2-3 times a week and holler and scream and hope God will take it and do something in your heart with it. God saves the good and the bad and the impure and liars. Ananias and Sapphira were saved, but they lied to God. Saves murderers. David. Saves thieves. I got one hanging on the cross. He said, "Today." I always loved that. Now you think about it. If you were a sinner in that thief's place, wouldn't that have been the greatest words you ever heard in your life? "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Holy shamole, man. Kawabunga kimasabi, that's good. I like, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." When God says any and all, it means any and all. That means you haven't done anything God can't forgive. And you're not on some list God can't save. That means as long as you're living and breathing, walking and talking, if you'll come to Christ, Christ will save you. Amen? I like that. I like that. I'm glad that my God is willing to save me and you and anybody else that wants to. The third thing I learned from this verse is this. That God's will can be resisted. God is not willing that any should perish, but a lot are going to perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but a lot are going. Means somebody is able to resist the will of God. Well, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, that's the will of God, and ye would not. Or Acts chapter 7, verse 51, where he said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. I don't know where them Calvinists get all that irresistible grace stuff. I can't find it in the New Testament. I don't know how many times I've sat on a pew and listened to somebody preach and God speak to my heart. And boy, I don't want to get right. I don't want to fix it. And buddy, I sit there and fight. I don't want to go down front. I don't want to confess it. I don't want to change it. I like what I'm doing. I bet you've been there too. You know what that is? That's resisting the Holy Ghost. That's you fighting against God. That's you resisting the will of God for your life. Amen. God's will can be resisted. Point number four. God's will can be resisted, but at the cost of your soul. Now, we're talking about salvation. If you're saved by God's grace, God's will can be resisted, and it will cost you your peace and your joy and your rewards. And it may cost you your family, and it may put you in an early grave. But if you're lost and you resist the will of the Lord, which is for you to repent and trust Christ, it will cost you your soul. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to save people. Amen. John 1:12. If you receive Christ, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. He that hath the Father, he that hath the Son, hath the Father also. Psalm 2, verse 12 said, kiss the Son when His anger is kindled but a little, lest thou perish. Or kiss... I got the verse tangled up. I got the middle, you got the front in the middle. Anyway, it's a great verse. You ought to read it. And I forgot how the verse went. It just went right out of my head. That's amazing. I've quoted that verse a million times. Well, you understand the point. You better get right with God as quick as you can. And you better stay that way. So why? Because to resist God is to put yourself in peril. Saved or lost. Unsaved people come to church. They may be religious like Cornelius. They may be good like Cornelius. You may be wicked as Judas. You may be a liar, a thief, or a murderer. It might make any difference. When God speaks to your heart, the thing for you to do is to move, to respond. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't put it off. Don't grab the back of the pew. Don't sit there and sweat. Don't fidget and fumble. Don't make excuses. Get off your backside and get down the aisle and get right with God. And the sooner, the better. Point number five. God is not willing. What is your will? Now I know what God's will is. You know what God's will is. God's will is for everybody to get saved. God's will is for all them saved folks to live right. Amen? The real question here isn't God's will. We know that. He revealed it. It's told to us. The real question here is, what's your will? What you going to do with what you know? That's the question. You want to fluff it off like you've done 1,000 times before? You want to pretend it was for somebody else? Folks say all the time, "Preacher, that was a great message. I really enjoyed that." And of course, it's just my imagination, you understand. I don't know this because I can't see inside their head, but sometimes I really feel like they're saying, "Preacher, that was a great message. Boy, you really got them." Just seems like it never fits them, you know. Because sometimes it was a really nasty message. And if it had been for them, if they'd have thought it was for them, they'd have been mad at me. Amen. What's your will regarding what God wants? Don't worry about the part of God's will you don't know or don't understand or God hadn't revealed yet. What's your will regarding the part of God's will you know? Amen. You know that it is God's will for you to be in God's house every time them doors are open. Amen? You know that it is God's will for you to live godly in this present evil world. You know that it is God's will for us to walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. You know that it is God's will for us as Christians to be separate from the world. Now, the question is, what's your will regarding His will? Will you do it? Will you obey it? Will you listen to it? Will you be admonished? Will you be instructed? Or will you just get mad? Now listen, you get mad at me if you want to. I'm just a messenger. Get mad at the one who sent the message. Instead of going home and crucifying the preacher all night and talking about how overbearing he is and what a rut he's in and he preaches the same old thing over and over, I'll preach something different if you get this part right.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you go home and say, "God, I'm sick and tired of them kind of messages and I don't want to hear that no more." Why don't you go home and get mad at God as you get mad at me sometime? I didn't think so. I don't think I'd do that either. A lot easier to get mad at the preacher. But the truth is, I'm just delivering the message. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't put them verses in there. God did that. Now, you either have to get your will in line with His, or you have to do your will in spite of His. The truth is, you can do either one. There's not enough power in the universe for somebody to make you live for God.
Amen.
Can't be done. I can't make you live right. I could write a list of rules and put them back there and say, "Everybody goes to King James Baptist Church, you're going to have to sign a statement that you'll do this and this and this, and you won't do this, and you won't go there, and you won't wear that, and you won't say this." And it wouldn't make you any more godly than you are right this minute. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. It doesn't make any difference if you conform outwardly if you didn't change inwardly. Amen? And nobody can get you fixed with God. Nobody can get you fixed with God but you. The preacher can be a big old bully or he can be a big old wimp. It doesn't make any difference. Anything you ever do for God, you have to settle in your own heart. You're going to have to decide, "I will do this, or I will not do this." Just remember one thing about all that. Only you can answer for it. And answer for it, you will. You can make your decision. You can resist God. You can resist the will of God. You can do your own thing. You can exercise your own will. It's your decision. But you're going to live with the consequences and you're going to answer for it yourself one of these days. Every man shall give an account of himself unto God. for the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You're not going to stand at the judgment seat and say, well, if Preacher Hensley had been a better preacher. The question's never coming up. God's going to say, what did you do with what you knew? What did you do with what you knew? The part of God's will you knew, was it your will to do it?